Yo, Red Man in the building, you already know. Jersey's finest. Funk Dr. Spot up in this bitch. First of all, I want to shout out the homie D. Lynch.
This is for my man D. Lynch, okay?
This is sending a shout out to D. Lynch.
Yo, I just want to shout out my dude D. Lynch.
D. Lynch is the business. I mean, come on, Ice-T's co-signing? You know, I don't like garbage music, you know what I'm saying?
D. Lynch, putting in that work, baby. Red Man in the building, Gilla House Death Squad, we here. Yo, D. Lynch, go get him, baby.
Yo. What is up, everybody? Welcome to season 4 of the D. Lynch Show podcast. We're finally fucking here. Season 4, after many, many delays due to many, many problems in the world, we're finally here. We're about 2 months off schedule, but goddamn it, we're here. And as I said, of course, it's been a little bit late, delayed. The original intention was to debut season 4 in March. But then COVID-19 happened. Crazy fucking times that 2020 has been so far. You know, this is going to be a little bit different than our normal podcast. This isn't going to be really music related. I do not have a guest for this episode. I do have other interviews recorded, but I felt like the first episode of this season, it should just be me talking to y'all, me getting my thoughts off my mind, off my chest. Hopefully somebody gets something from all of this and they can use it in their everyday lives to make something a little bit better out of all this fucking madness that we find ourselves in the world. But man, has 2020 been a fucking shit show so far, you know? And it's funny because I was so excited for 2020, man, especially from a music / hip-hop perspective. I was like, man, you guys can even go look because they're saved up on my Facebook. I was doing live streams and shit, being like, man, I'm so hyped for 2020. There's gonna be a whole new genre, a whole new era rather, of artists coming in and defining the next decade of hip-hop, and it's a new decade and new opportunities. And while all that's still true, we're off to a fucking terrible start. And who knew first? The first 2 months were great. Actually, 2020 started off as, at least for me, the best year ever. Best year for business, best year for personal and business relationships, best year ever for music, best year ever for this podcast, best year ever for fucking everything. And then all of a sudden, the middle of March, all of that went to hell. And, you know, first I want to say I'm not going to offer any opinions on COVID-19. I'm not going to offer, for sure, most definitely not going to offer any ridiculous conspiracy theories, because at this point, I'm sure we've all heard all of them and we don't need to portray any more of them or perpetuate any more of them, because quite frankly, I think they're ridiculous. But what I do want to say about COVID-19 is, well, first of all, it's still going on out there, and it's a little bit more confusing than it was, because we're not getting a lot of information on it right now because we are heavily distracted by something else, which I will get to in a moment. But, you know, I just hope everybody's being safe. I hope everybody's staying healthy. You know, if any of you listening have loved ones that got the virus, if you got the virus yourself, well, first of all, if you got the virus yourself, I assume that you have recovered or are on the path to recovery. And if you're on the path, I wish you a speedy one at that. But if you have any loved ones that were affected by it, I hope they recovered. You know, my condolences to anybody that lost anybody during COVID-19. My condolences to all the people that lost their jobs, anybody that lost their homes. You know, it was a dark time. A lot of people died, unfortunately, and it was a global pandemic, something that affected the whole world at the same time, and it was unprecedented. We have not seen anything like this before. And that's pretty much 2020 in a nutshell. It's been fucking interesting because as if COVID-19 wasn't bad enough, a couple weeks later, we get a headline in the news that is saying that murder wasps have invaded the United States of America. I personally haven't seen any of these fucking murder bees, but I apparently they exist. That's what I read. I don't know. Apparently they're up north, like the Northwest, up in Washington and Oregon and stuff like that. If any of you guys are from there, please, you know, drop me a line. Let me know what the deal is if you've seen any. But it was interesting. It was an interesting time. It feels like forever ago, even though it was only 2 months ago. Hopefully everybody got something at least positive out of it, man. Hopefully people use their time wisely, reconnected with loved ones, reconnected with themselves, found a new hobby, learned a new skill, did something. I know I did. I got an entire album done in a month, which comes out, shameless plug, which comes out June 19th, by the way. Brand new album, Pigeons, by your boy, in stores, June 19th. But I wrote that in a whole month. I mean, one, because I had a lot to talk about, and two, it was like there was nothing else to do, man. It was either write music or sit around and play video games all fucking day. And to be honest with you, it was a combination of both of those things because there was nothing else to do. And just when things seemed like they couldn't get any worse and they were starting to improve, and actually, as a lot of cities were opening back up, some were way ahead of the game and were well into opening back up. But I know at least here in San Diego, we're starting to open back up. It seems like the dark times are behind us. And then an unarmed black man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, by the name of George Floyd, was murdered by an unarmed cop. We essentially suffocated, dude. He just, you know, I know y'all know the story, but the motherfucker stuck his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. George Floyd tried to tell the officer he couldn't breathe, and officer didn't seem to give a fuck. And apparently, the officer has an extensive history of killing black people, which is mind-boggling how he was allowed to be a police officer as long as he has been, and even more mind-boggling that this didn't happen sooner, because it's a pretty long list. I think George was like the fifth or the sixth one. It was like this dude has a body count, son. He has, let me put it to you this way, if this motherfucker didn't wear a badge, he has a high enough body count to be considered a serial killer, honestly. Just let that sink in for a second. If this motherfucker wasn't a cop, his body count is high enough to be a serial killer. And yet he was a cop as long as he was. And he murdered this poor man. And now the entire country is in fucking unrest like I have personally never seen before. This is not the first time I've witnessed something like this, but to this degree it is. I mean, you have all 50 states and protest over this murder. When was the last time all 50 states came together and did fucking anything, son? Like, we've been a fucking, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we ain't divided on this issue too, and we very much are, and again, I'll get to that in a moment, but when was the last time the entire country came together on something and demanded that something changed? I don't, at least in my lifetime, I'm 30 years old. At least in my lifetime, I can't recall. I genuinely can't. I cannot recall. It's been, I don't even really know how to describe what it's been. It's been an array of fucking very intense emotions all at once. There's been a lot of anger and very intense anger. There's been a lot of deep frustration, a lot of confusion, at least for me. You know, because I understand that, and trust me, I've been fighting against fascism and racism since I was 16 years old. You know what I mean? I was in an anarcho-punk rock band when I was 16 years old, and this shit's been a fight I've been fighting against for 14 going on 15 years. You know what I'm saying? But I just still can't seem to wrap my head around how there's actually people in this world who want another human being dead for a difference in skin pigmentation, and sometimes the slightest difference in skin pigmentation. And whether it's a big difference or not, the fuck difference does that make? I've said this before, and I didn't make this quote up. I heard this somewhere. But if you can take the heart out of every race, every ethnicity, and you can line all those hearts up side by side, right next to each other, and you can tell me what the difference between all of those hearts are, all right, man, I'll entertain this ignorant rhetoric coming out of your mouth. But until then, all I see are organs that pump blood, my G. So I just truly can't wrap my head around it. But on the flip side, it hasn't been all negative. Even though it has really been a lot of negative emotions, like I said. And most of those emotions are directed at the police. Because I've witnessed with my own eyes some pretty fucking terrible things. But on the flip side, there's been positive in this too. The first and most importantly is I truly believe, because you have all 50 states coming together and protesting, beyond that, because the world is watching and protesting with us, you got fucking people in France protesting. You got, man, you got people in Tokyo, Japan protesting, and they don't protest a lot. They really don't. Japan kind of fucking stays out of everything these days, and you have people in the streets of Tokyo, Japan protesting. Like, so it's not just the whole country, it's many, many parts of the world. And on the flip side, I feel like we really have a real chance to make some change that'll actually stick. As long as we don't give up, as long as we don't succumb to intimidation, as long as we don't come to police brutality, as long as we don't come to a president that acts like a tyrant, which I have a whole segment ready for, so I'm not going to go too deep into that right now. But I really do believe that we have a real opportunity to make some real change, and it's fucking about fucking time. I actually, you know what's funny? I had a phone call with a good friend of mine today, and the song I did 5 years ago on my very first album, some of you know it like the back of your hand, Psychometrics, of my very first album, there's a song on there called Ferguson Nights, and it was about exactly what it sounds like. It was about the riots that took place in Ferguson, Missouri, when Michael Brown was killed. And I was having a phone conversation with one of the guys that was like involved in the recording process of that song. And we were talking, I was like, dude, I can't believe that fucking song came out 5 years ago and we did a music video and everything 5 years ago and nothing has changed. Not a thing, not a single fucking thing has changed. And it's insane to me that that song still holds a tremendous amount of relevancy today. And it's not even like, you know, typically as an artist, like that's the goal. That's the goal, is to create timeless music, right? Timeless music that will stand the test of time, where you can play that shit 5, 6, 7 years later and it still means something whenever, like however many years later. But I'll tell you right now, as an artist and a human being, like I appreciate y'all, because I know a lot of y'all are still bumping that shit, but that wasn't the one that I wanted to stand the test of time. That wasn't the one I wanted to still be relevant 5 years later. That, no, man, because that means that we still have a massive, 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 massive problem in this country, and it really needs to be rectified. And We can't just keep, we literally just can't keep playing the same old fucking story over and over and over and over again. You know, the definition of insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. Even though you're doing the same exact thing, the same exact ways, and you expect different results, that is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. So, what's the answer? What makes the change? Well, if you were to ask me, I think that depends on who you ask, right? And I think if you were to ask me, and maybe I have a little bit more of a radical approach than others, but my whole opinion is, first of all, most importantly, it is not for me as a white man, and any of my white brothers and sisters out there, we don't have any room to tell our black brothers and sisters how to stand up to their oppressors. We can either stand and fight with them, or we can get the fuck out the way. And to be honest with you, getting the fuck out the way isn't even a good choice, because this is a time where our black brothers and sisters need us very, very much. You know what I mean? Because we have something, and I know that there's probably a lot of people that are about to listen to what I'm saying, and you know, I might get some angry emails and people might unsubscribe and what have you, but in, at least in America, I can't speak for the rest of the world because I haven't been to too many parts of the world, but I've been all over this fucking country. I have toured all over this nation, and there is something called white privilege in this country that is absolutely 100% real, and it makes me absolutely crazy, one, when Caucasian people try to deny that that's a thing. And I'll get in, we're going about to get into why it's a thing, just in case there's anybody listening that doesn't understand. But secondly, I feel like I always have to break shit down in apples and oranges. So to break it down in apples and oranges, the reason it's not right is because for anybody listening that's ever played Mario Kart in their lives, I think this is might have changed over the years, but at least I know as a kid, the original Mario Kart and the one on Nintendo 64 and all of that shit, the old school ones, if you were in the lead, you were in first place, you couldn't get any power-ups. You couldn't get any of the weapons that you could shoot at other players. You couldn't get anything that puts you in the lead. And that's the fucking point with society. That's an analogy that you can make literal and put into society. First of all, with the all matters life thing, and that's what I'm pretty much getting at. Motherfucker, you don't need any more clout, fam. I'm just gonna put it like that, because people get ass hurt. They hear people say Black Lives Matter, then they're like, oh motherfucker, that makes it sound so racist and decisive, and all lives matter, what about the rest of it? It's like, dog, you don't need any more clout. You don't need any more looks. You don't need the shout out, because that's not the fucking point. If your neighbor's house is on fire and you go outside and tell the fire department to water your house too, even though your house isn't the one that's on fire, your neighbor's house is, but you tell the fire department to water your house too, because all houses matter, you're a fucking idiot. You're a narcissistic son of a bitch who can't see past their own fucking nose, and you probably need some counseling. It's, again, I've said this many times in many different forms of public, whether it be on this podcast, on live streams, on other people's podcasts, what have you. It's not that hard to be a decent human being. It's really fucking not. It's really, really, really not. And beyond that, it's really not hard to see somebody else's perspective, unless you're just fucking ignorant. But if you really have an open mind and you have a decent heart in your body, it's really not that difficult to listen and understand somebody else's perspective, even if you don't agree with them. However, in my honest, humble opinion, this is not a fucking topic that y'all get to disagree on, that any of us get to disagree on. fucking period. Period. It's just not our place, first of all, to tell oppressed people how to stand up to their oppressors. Period. Secondly, you know what? Secondly, going back to white privilege, because that's really what it, this is really what I was about to say. As white people in America, you have a privilege to where you can get away with doing everyday normal things. And I literally mean everyday normal things without having to fear for your life. You're not going to do normal things like going outside with a hairbrush or going on a jog and being curious about a building's construction and fear for your life. That is very much the reality of African Americans in the United States. And as a matter of fact, I have a post somewhere. I've been posting a lot of shit on social media lately. I've actually, you know, I feel like if there's ever a time to let people know I stand with them, one, of course, but two, I just feel, you know, it's important. I understand that I'm blessed and I have a platform to where a good amount of people, a number of people listen to me. They listen to what I have to say, even if they don't agree with me. You know what I mean? So I feel like now is really an important time to use my platform to get people to listen and hopefully think differently about a certain situation. But so I just found the post. I'm just going to read the post for you guys verbatim. I didn't write this. I actually shared this from a friend and I asked him if I could repost it. And he said, please do. So I'm going to read it to you guys. It says, "Dear fellow white humans, please read. You have privilege as a white person because you can do all of the things without thinking twice. All of these things. You can protest non-violently, Dr. Martin Luther King. Your kids have the right to due process, Corey Wise. You can go birding, Christian Cooper. You can go jogging or be curious of a home's construction, Ahmed Aubrey. You can relax in the comfort of your own home, Botham Sean and Atiana Jefferson. You can ask for help after being in a car crash, Jonathan Farrell and Renisha McBride. You can have a cell phone, Stephen Clark." You already see the fucking ridiculousness in this. I'm not even halfway done, ladies and gentlemen. "You can leave a party to get to safety, Jordan Edwards. You can play loud music, Jordan Davis. You can sell CDs, Alton Sterling. You can sleep, Ayanna Jones. You can whistle, Emmett Till. You can walk from the corner store, Mike Brown. Your kids can play cops and robbers outside, Tamir Rice." That one especially fucks me up. But anyway, "you can go to church, Charleston 9. You can walk home with Skittles, Trayvon Martin. You can hold a hairbrush while leaving your own bachelor party, Sean Bell. You can party on New Year's, Oscar Grant. You can get a normal traffic ticket, Sandra Bland. You can lawfully carry a weapon, Philando Castell, who was murdered in front of his child, by the way. You can break down on a public road with car problems, Corey Jones. You can shop at Walmart, John Crawford." I'm still not done. "You can have a disabled vehicle, Terrence Crutcher. You can have a young and dumb moment to reflect back on when you've gotten older, Sean Reed. You can read a book in your own car, Keith Scott. You can be a 10-year-old walking with your grandfather, Clifford Glover. You can decorate for a party, Claude Reese. You can ask a cop a question, Randy Evans. You can cash a check in peace, Yvonne Smallwood. You can take out your wallet, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but Amadeo Diallo. I hope I'm saying that right. Please, somebody correct me if I'm not. You can run away, Walter Scott. You can breathe, Eric Gardner. You can live after being taken into custody for having a pocket knife, Freddie Gray. You can sleep in your own bed and defend your home under the Second Amendment, Breonna Taylor and Kenneth Walker. You can be arrested without the fear of being murdered over the suspicion of having a counterfeit $20 bill, George Floyd. white privilege is absolutely real, and choosing to use it as a weapon all because some black or Hispanic person doesn't obey to your self-entitled authority on earth is a hate crime in the eyes of the public. And until legislation passes this into law, it will be treated as such by the public and punished accordingly. So take a minute to consider a black person's experience today before it's too late tomorrow. And that is essentially white privilege in a nutshell. If you guys can't understand that, I mean, I broke that down in apples and oranges, and you know, I don't want to assume anything, but I have found in the last week that there are a lot of people that follow me that I'm not really sure why they follow me, because they are all incredibly racist people. And I don't know what makes them think I'm the guy to follow, because again, 5 years ago, I released a fucking song about the Ferguson riots, and it was sympathetic to the rioters and the protesters, not to the police at all. So I don't know why they thought I was the guy to follow. Doesn't fucking make any sense to me, but my vape is going crazy right now. Anyway, but I don't know why they thought I was the guy to follow. I'm not the guy to follow for them at all. So, but you know, if any of you guys can't understand what I just said, I ain't the guy you should be following whatsoever. You know, because to me, if you can't understand what I just said and breaking it down in apples and oranges like that, like, I'm sorry, I genuinely don't know how to help you. I don't. Now, there's something else I want to read you guys, and it's really just because, like I said, the purpose of, at least the main purpose of this podcast episode, is to educate people a little bit on what's going on, if you're not already fully aware, just so people can really truly understand why things need to change, really need to change, and why it really needs to stick once and for all. This is something I did write after collecting a bunch of different data from a bunch of different sources. It is a little bit long. It's a little bit of an essay of sorts that I wrote regarding systematic racism and why it's been something that's been plaguing our country for hundreds of years. And basically, I'm not going to ramble on. I'm just going to read it to you guys. But it says, finding urban white communities that are as disadvantaged as the poorest black neighborhoods will be next to impossible. Why is this? Well, let's start with the housing displacement. In a year of many anniversaries, two in particular stand out with respect to the housing crisis facing the United States today. The first is the passage of Title, and I'm terrible with Roman numerals, so I call it VIII. I don't know what number that actually is, of the 1968 Civil Rights Act, more commonly known as the Fair Housing Act. In some ways, the legislation bitterly acknowledged the role of housing discrimination in keeping African Americans in a subordinate social position, excluding black people from white neighborhoods while simultaneously disinvesting in black communities has kept them out of the best funded schools and the highest paying jobs. Housing discrimination, I have a little bit of dyslexia, which is funny that I'm a rapper and I have a podcast and everything else, but just bear with me. Housing discrimination was a linchpin of black inequality in American society, and the Fair Housing Act held out the promise of undoing it by banning racial discrimination in the renting, financing, and selling of housing. The second anniversary is that of the 2008 financial crisis, perhaps the starkest sign of the palpable failure to the Fair Housing Act to fulfill its mandate. Not only did the crisis wipe out decades worth of hard-won financial gains for African Americans, but it stole their homes as well. In 2010, almost 500,000 African Americans were at risk of foreclosure, and by 2014, more than 240,000 had lost their homes. This historic collapse in black homeownership is an important part of why the wealth gap between black and white Americans is larger today than it has been in decades. In 2007, right before the crash, the median white family had 8 times the wealth of the median black family. By 2013, that figure had risen to 11 times, and it has tapered off only slightly since. This made African Americans 50% more likely to receive a subprime loan. After the failure of these loans, bank and other mortgage lenders today are using this failure as an excuse to revert back to the exclusionary practices that gave rise to exploitative lending in the first place. Black home ownership is the lowest it has ever been in history, oftentimes forcing black families in neighborhoods where they are more likely to experience severe building maintenance issues, overcrowding, a lack of public resources, etc. Now, let's place this into police relations. In 1976, Adolph Lyons, I don't know how that's pronounced. I hope it's not Adolph. That'd be unfortunate. But anyways, a 24-year-old black man was pulled over by 4 Los Angeles police officers for driving with a broken taillight. The cops exited their squad cars with their guns drawn, ordering Lyons to spread his leg and put his hands on the top of his head. After Lyons was frisked, he put his hands down, causing one of the cops to grab Lyons' hand and slam them against his head. Lyons had been holding his keys and he complained that he was in pain. The police officer then tackled Lyons and placed him in a chokehold, until he blacked out. When Lyons regained consciousness, he was lying face down on the ground, had soiled his pants, and was spitting up blood and dirt. The cops gave him a traffic citation and sent him on his way. There has never, not for 1 minute, never in American history been peace between black people and the police. And nothing since slavery, not Jim Crow, segregation, not lynching, not restrictive covenants in housing, not being shut out of New Deal programs like Social Security and the GI Bill, not massive white resistance to school desegregation, not the ceaseless efforts to prevent blacks from voting, nothing has sparked the level of outrage among African Americans as when they have felt under violent attack by the police. Most of the times that African Americans have set aside traditional civil rights strategies like bringing court cases and marching peacefully and instead have rioted in the streets and attacked symbols of the state because of something that the police have done. Watts in 1965, Newark in 1967, Miami in 1980, Los Angeles in 1992, Ferguson in 2015, Baltimore in 2016, Charlotte in 2016, and of course now, not just Minneapolis in 2020, but all 50 states. Each of these cities went up in flames, sparked by violence. Excuse me, I lost my place. Just kick me out. Each of these cities went up in flames, sparked by violence by the police killing a black man. The problem is in the criminal process itself. I don't know where I got the word here from. I'm told you, my phone has a, I don't know, sometimes if I tap it just ever so slightly in the wrong direction, it'll take me all the way back up to the top, but I digress. Cops routinely hurt and humiliate black people because that is what they are paid to do. Virtually every objective investigation of a U.S. law enforcement agency finds that the police, as a policy, treat African Americans with contempt. In New York, Baltimore, Ferguson, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, San Francisco, and many other cities, the U.S. Justice Department and federal courts have stated that the official practices of police departments include violating the rights of African Americans. The police kill, wound, pepper spray, beat up, detain, frisk, handcuff, and use dogs against blacks in circumstances in which they do not do the same to white people. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, only scratching the surface on systemic racism in the United States of America. Okay, so now understanding that, now that all the facts are out there, right? I've held my opinions to myself for the most part. up until now, just so we can get the facts out there. Now I want to talk a little bit about my opinions, because my opinion largely is that I find it absolutely motherfucking absurdly ridiculous that so many people, including myself, so many people, including my black brothers and sisters, my Hispanic brothers and sisters, my white brothers and sisters, my Asian brothers and sisters, what have you, we are all out here saying stop killing black people. And there's really people out here going, but like, no, what the fuck do you mean? No, but no if, ands, or buts. Why is it that every single time, and I mean literally every single time, a minority is killed, an unarmed, innocent minority is killed by a police officer, there are droves of white people that want to come up with an excuse for why a fucking minority deserved to die? It's just a concept I will never understand. And maybe it's just, I don't know. One, I was definitely raised the right way. I was raised to not have prejudice. I was raised to treat and look at all people equally. And I very much still to this day at 30 years old, and something I will teach my children, is the golden rule. You treat people the way that you want to be treated, period. Period. It doesn't, I mean, I don't know when we fucking lost sight of that as a society, because we definitely have. And I've talked about that before, but this is deeper than all that. I'll never understand what makes, again, people think that the pigmentation of their skin makes them better than somebody else. And you know what is really frustrating and really disappointing is to see how many people that I have associated with, some people acquaintances, some people close friends, some people business associates, but my God, if people's true colors don't come out in times like these, man, there are so many people, so many fucking people, I would have never pegged them to be a racist and a millionaires who have said some of the most terrible fucking things. And it's just so shocking. It's incredibly shocking. And then on the flip side, there's even people that I expected to kind of have an ignorant stance on all of this, and they're probably the loudest right now saying that this shit is wrong. And I just don't don't understand why there's still certain people. I mean, they don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get me wrong. I feel, and I could be wrong, I haven't looked at the statistics, but I've been paying the fuck attention. I've been to some of these protests myself, and it seems like most of us are largely on the same page. And beyond that, most of us are largely on the same page that this is not a black versus white thing. This is an everybody versus racism thing. And to be frank, as things have transpired and as credible threats have come from the White House, it's also turned into an everybody versus the powers of be thing. And I don't want to deviate from that whatsoever, because that's important. Again, when was the last time all 50 states came together and did something? So that speaks volumes. And I don't want to take away from that. However, there are a lot of people that are trying very, 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 very hard to discredit this, to try to keep shit the same way because they don't want to lose the fucking lead. And I really, all I want to say that if you are on the right side of this fight and you are fighting this, and I have no shame in saying this, I say this loud and proud, I am 100% one of those people. I have been not only extremely, extremely vocal, I have bailed people out of jail. I have friends that got arrested and I'm paying for their attorneys. I have been to protest myself. I have done concert streams to raise money for the NAACP. Like, I've been putting in fucking work on this battle, this war, this fight, whatever you want to call it. There are people that are seriously trying to derail that in all shapes and sizes. Everybody from people on social media to the media itself to something I've seen with my own eyes. Extremist groups on both sides coming in and fucking picking fights with people and smashing shit up, trying to loot bait police, attacking peaceful protesters. As a matter of fucking fact, there was a woman here in San Diego, over in La Mesa in the suburbs, it's by the college. They were protesting at the police station in La Mesa because there was a young man, African-American, of course, it's fucking how these stories go, who was waiting for his friends outside of his friend's apartment complex. Well, the police officer came up, started harassing him, got aggressive with him, started fucking shoving him around, basically assaulted the dude, and then charged the dude that he just assaulted with assaulting a police officer. So everybody was out there peacefully protesting, and there was a live video. It's crazy that when these moments get caught live on social media for the whole fucking world to see, because this woman was protesting peacefully. She was literally just standing there. She went to go take a drink of her water, and bam, fucking police officer shot her right in the forehead, in between the eyes with a rubber bullet, and it pierced her skull. She's in critical condition in the hospital. No official word other than that has been released, because her family can't even go there because of COVID-19 still going around. And to me, any single person, like, that shit made me fucking mortified, family. Like, well, first of all, that happened in my town, in my city, where I have resided for the last almost 7 fucking years. It's somewhere that is shit 3 to 4 minutes down the road of where a very, very close friend of mine lives. And that is a human being that was innocent. Standing up for her and her loved one's civil rights, and motherfucking strangers she doesn't even know their civil rights. And the police, the answer to that is put a fucking rubber bullet in between. Like, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. When you are trained as a police officer, they teach you not to shoot people in the fucking anywhere below the torso, or I'm sorry, excuse me, not anywhere below and not anywhere above the torso. They teach you to aim those rubber bullets at the torso, especially not the fucking head, because it will destroy you. It will either pierce your skull and potentially kill you, or it will destroy your face. Police are taught better than that, and police need to be held accountable for the fucking actions. And that's the only thing that's really going to change this, is accountability, not just in police, but in every form of government, down from the lowest being the police and to the highest being, in my opinion, all the way up to the White House. This shit needs to be recalibrated. It needs to be reset. It needs to be reformed. This is not sustainable whatsoever, and it's not going to sustain any longer. The house of cards is very much falling down on itself right now. And I went into a whole nother discussion that really originally deviated from my point, but it's okay, because it kind of, we can circle back into it pretty easily. The whole point with that is, in these protests, there have been a lot of people that feel that they should, now is an appropriate time to vocalize their disdain for people of color, especially on social media. And oddly enough, it's a lot going on inside the music business. It's really fucking disgusting, honestly. There is a woman by the name of Hillary Jones. She is a world-renowned drummer. I mean, let's pull up her Wikipedia really quick, just so I can take a look, see at her, some of her credits, because I remember when I looked at it, I was like, holy shit, okay, she's got a lot going on here. It might have been on her website. I don't know, I can't find it now. It a lot of shit has been erased since this, but my point with that is, Miss Hillary Jones, world-renowned drummer, has played with fucking all kinds of huge acts. If I can find her credits, I can help this make a little bit more sense, I'm sure. There we go. All credits. Yep, Hillary Jones. Okay, here we go. So she has worked with Bon Jovi. She's done a lot of work like that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fucking rock bands like that. But she decided to be appropriate to, I guess, was one of her fans or something, or some. She's fucking getting a debate with or somebody on Facebook, having one of these fucking stupid Twitter wars or whatever. And she decided it was basically, in a nutshell, appropriate to tell this guy that he had never experienced racism in this country as a black man, that it's his quote-unquote own people's fault that all of this is going on, that he should thank his lucky stars that he was born in the greatest country in the world, and he can go back to his what did she say, AIDS infested shithole of a country if she don't appreciate it. Like, it was all horrible. It was very, very hateful. And holy shit, did the internet light this woman the fuck up, son. Like, fam, like, they lit this woman up sideways. She lost all of her endorsements, which, you know, it's funny because when I search her name, it still shows up on DW. She was endorsed by DW Drums. Oh, shit. Fuck, there's press coming out about it now. Oh, man. Yeah, it's bad for her, but, you know. No, okay, never mind. Yeah, there's a press release. DW Drums artist Hillary Jones unleashes racist rant. Let me read this article to you guys. Fuck it. All right, so while the music community at large is protesting social injustice and police brutality, DW Drums artist Hillary Jones unleashes a racist rant. A few hours ago, Lauryn Hill's bass player Jay Rosado posted a screenshot of Jones' rant on Facebook. Holy fuck. That's who she was ranting to? Lauryn Hill's bass player? Bruh. She should... What the fuck was she thinking? She should have... I guess some people are so fucking arrogant they don't sit to think and be like, oh yeah, this ain't gonna end well for me. Brother. Anyways, moving forward, Jones begins her racist rant by saying, "You were never a slave. You had tremendous advantages in this country." She goes on to mention affirmative action and the lowering of standards to accommodate those of you who couldn't measure up, quote unquote. And quote continues, "Your people kill more of my people. You rape, pillage, and everybody knows it. You want to thank your lucky stars that you live in the greatest country, but you are too stupid and ungrateful to acknowledge it," end quote. Jones's racist rant has prompted online backlash from the music community. Her harsh and divisive words are on pace to go viral as musicians have responded with a flurry of strong comments. The post has already generated hundreds of shares on both Facebook and Instagram. As a result, pressure is being applied to Jones's affiliate drum companies to take disciplinary action against her. The official Hillary Jones website states her affiliation was Zildjian Cymbals, DW Drums, and Attack Drumheads. As one would imagine, racism by a cymbal artist could prove to be very damaging to Zildjian. Yeah, I mean, considering that's fucking a black culture, dude. Yeah, obviously. On Saturday, Zildjian led the music retail industry with a statement of commitment to help end racism, social injustice, and police brutality. Backlash from Hillary Jones's racist rant. Oh, Hillary. What is up with women? I might step myself into some shit right here. And I'm not saying all women named Hillary, but famous Hillaries. Why are famous women named Hillary so fucking insane? I swear don't name to personality traits thing. I swear to God it's real. But anyway, moving forward, days after Zildjian's vow to spread love, their artist Hillary Jones surfaces with a message of hate. This harsh and destructive hate speech directly contradicts Zildjian's already skeptical stance on racism. Jones's racist rant, there it goes again on my phone, looks to be a devastating blow to Zildjian's public approval. According to a post on Facebook, DW Drums had already dropped Jones from their artist roster. And fam, they dropped her fast as shit. They dropped her faster than shit. They, like, literally minutes after that rant came out, they were like, we're done with you. Like, it was, they did not fuck around with that one. So salute to them. DW stated that they do not align themselves with such hate. We imagine the musician community can look forward to seeing more endorsement distancing from the other drum companies as well. Holy shit. No, this is, you know what? As they say, first of all, sucks to suck. And second of all, you play stupid prizes in life. You win stupid. I'm sorry. You play stupid games in life and you win stupid prizes. And then meanwhile, of course, at the White House, we have Mr. fucking Happy Fingers absolutely pouring kerosene all over this situation, every single waking moment and every single chance he gets, almost like he gets some kind of an enjoyment out of poking the bear, such as, let's start with saying when the looting starts, the shooting starts, which a little piece of history is actually a direct quote from a 1960s Miami police chief who was notoriously racist and flat out said in the public, in the media, that he did not care if he was being accused of police brutality. So essentially openly admitted. So there's that. Fuck, everywhere from threatening Secret Service to sick dogs in what he calls the most ominous weapons at White House protesters, threatening and actually doing, mobilizing the U.S. military on U.S. citizens so he can take a photo op, a selfie essentially, at a church holding a Bible upside down and backwards. And just really just making every fucking bit of this situation 80 million times worse, which I weirdly enough at this point, and it's not even that weird, it's just weird he hasn't done it. But at this point, any other president in history would have made an official statement addressing his people, asking for unity. But that is not what this president has done at all. Quite fact, exactly the opposite. And it's kind of polarizing to see. And to be honest, everything that he has done lately has been polarizing, everywhere from claiming absolute power when it's just unconstitutional. It's just constitutionally untrue. Signing a ridiculous executive order because Twitter fact checked him on a blatant lie. And then all these other fucking ridiculous, credible threats of violence on Twitter. It's just like the most tyrannical thing that a president has ever done in U.S. history. And it's definitely polarizing, to say the least. But I just don't see how he thinks this is going to work out well for him in the end. Like, he is literally putting all this fire, or putting all this gasoline on the fire. And then he goes into the White House bunker, and not only goes into the White House bunker, but shuts all the lights off of the White House. Like, what more of a fuck you could you possibly give? And I don't see it working out for you too well there, Donald. Definitely not in the polls, but fuck the election. Like, I'm talking on a deeper level than that. You keep poking that bear, and that bear's gonna claw your fucking face off, my friend. It's very real, you know. And I watched it the first night when the protesters first showed up at the White House, and there wasn't a lot of people there at first. It was like 200 people. Motherfucker got on the Twitters the next day and was talking about how comfortable and safe he felt, how the Secret Service did such a great job. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, yeah, but like, It's 200 people right now, but what happens when it's 2,000 and then 20,000 and then 200,000? And I mean, obviously, by the second day, he was shook because he was in the bunker. It could have been ordered by Secret Service, but you can tell throughout his tweet patterns that the man is shook. And he keeps trying to respond to this by not appearing weak, like trying to make actions. That's been the whole thing, is the word weak has been really popular with him lately. The whole thing is like flexing to not appear weak. He must feel, and it's apparent through his actions, that him addressing his people, I mean, at this point it's too fucking late, let's just be honest, but it's too little too late at this point. He can shove it up his ass at this point, but you know, he must feel that doing as every other president before him has done and would have done in this situation, at the very fucking least. I'm not really, you know, I'm not giving any president really a pass on any of it. And to me, when it comes to systemic racism, excuse me, the president is always a massive part of the problem, but never has a president just blatantly fucking poked the bear. And he must feel that doing anything other than that is a sign of weakness. Like, this man is fucking brute force. If brute force was a human being, it would be fucking him. I read this man's tweets, and I'm like, man, cocaine's a hell of a drug, isn't it? I swear, I'm not convinced that the president's not on cocaine. That man fucking just behaves like somebody who's geeked all the time, like a goddamn tweaker or something. But anyway, man, I don't want to go on too long about all that. You know, that's a lot of energy right there in itself. And we got to wrap this up anyway. We're running low on time. And I still got to tell you guys what's in store for season 4. So I got to wrap this up. We got to bring this conversation to an end, because we got some pretty exciting shit coming up for this season. But before we get into all that, really quick, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. This has been a hell of a first episode of season 4. I've actually never really done a full podcast episode by myself. I've done quite a few of them by myself, but they were always just short little snackable content. I've never done a full hour long podcast by myself. Usually I have a guest on here at that point, but was a little unsure of it going in, but there was just so much to talk about. It actually went very, 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 very quickly. So I appreciate everybody sticking it out this long, all the way through four seasons spanned over a couple of years. Cause you already know, if you've been following me the whole time, it's pretty much based around my music schedule. So that's why we do the seasons, the whole season thing. But speaking of which, season 4 is lined up to be pretty fucking solid. We have some great guests lined up for you guys. I can't really give it away right now because I don't want to ruin the element of surprise, but we got everybody from music industry leaders to community leaders to potentially, maybe, very, very soon, best-selling authors and the like. We got all kinds. We got a melting pot full of people. It's going to be really dope, including some of the people that are actually out on the front lines in this whole fight that we're living through right now. And some really important and informative discussions all across the board. Coming soon on season 4. Again, I've been D. Lynch, as you know. I always feel weird fucking saying that, but I feel like there has to be some kind of sign off. But anyways, guys, I love each and every one of you. Please, please, please stay safe out there when you go out into this crazy world. We are in damaged times, but things can only improve from here. Hopefully the second half of 2020 is much better than the first half. Anyways, guys, I will see you over at episode 2. Much love, everybody. Peace.